Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're debating tonight the subject of Kobani, the Syrian Kurdish city under siege, indeed partly invaded by ISIL, asking the question, if Kobani falls to ISIL, who would be to blame? And we're talking about the declared intention to execute by beheading ISIS style of the Sheikh al-Nimr, the leader of the Shiite minority community in Saudi Arabia. Iran has called on the Saudi government to halt the planned execution. There's a huge campaign developing here in London. There are demonstrations outside the Saudi embassy. There's a hashtag, Free Sheikh Nimr. There are all sorts of agitation going on now. Even before a date for the execution has been announced. And I'm arguing that if this execution were to proceed, there's going to be an awful lot of trouble, not just in the region, but around the world. Mo in the UK wants to talk about Kobani and ISIL. Mo, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi, go ahead, sir.
George, we have to clear one issue that's misleading.
Yeah.
The IS, these murderers, band of murderers, they did not capture any equipment. They were already issued with this equipment. They were trained by the Americans and the British in Jordan and Turkey before they even arrived into Syria. And they already had this equipment issued to them. They only became the IS after they crossed out of Syria into Iraq, and they threatened the oil fields, national interest. But the other point is, the reason that the US and the UK need to distance themselves from these guys and make allegations that they captured the equipment, like Humvees and AR-15 rifles and what have you, is because of the beheadings of these journalists and humanitarian workers. Because once the British and American publics discover that these horrible monsters were trained by the Americans and British in camps in Jordan and Turkey, and they were issued this equipment, then they will be in trouble. The governments in the UK and Washington, D.C. will be in trouble. So they're trying to distance themselves from these guys. But they did not capture the equipment. They were issued this equipment. And that's the point. But also the Saudi monarchy, some of the members of the monarchy, not all of them, granted, but some of them are financing the Wahhabist movement.
Oh, there's no doubt that they're financing the Wahhabist movement. But not every Wahhabist is in ISIS or supporter of Al-Qaeda. That's the distinction I was trying to make. I don't actually agree with you, Mo, and you made one, but that's a matter of opinion, but you made one factual error. They were Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Under Zarqawi, they committed acts of such atrocity against the local population that the local population rose up and drove them into Syria. Then they were part of Al-Qaeda in the Levant. Then they split from Al-Qaeda. Indeed, Zawahiri expelled them because they were too sectarian, too violent, too extreme, even for Al-Qaeda. And then they made this extraordinary military advance in Iraq. It's from Iraq they got the Humvees. They weren't given Humvees in Syria. They took them from the Iraqi military, and they took much of their heavy equipment from the Iraqi military. But I'm with you in this, to this extent. When these foolish regimes in the Persian Gulf, and the British, French, and the United States were pouring in lethal and non-lethal military aid, pouring in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, they didn't really much care in whose hands it ended up. They didn't train ISIL in Jordan. ISIL comes from the north, from across the Turkish frontier. They are trying to build up a southern front, but it hasn't happened yet. And the Jordanian regime are very anxious about going that final step. The reality is that the Free Syrian Army is a fictional army. And so if you give it guns and money, someone is going to take the guns and money off them. And that is precisely what happened. About 1 year ago, all of the military warehouses of the so-called FSA were simply attacked and robbed of every last bullet and every last piece of weaponry within them. That was entirely predictable and predicted by me before it happened. I'm getting tired being right, Mo, especially on matters of such import. Thanks for your call. Alexander is in London, wants to talk about the same subject, Kobani. Alexander, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Galloway. I just want to say about Kobani is that it obviously would be the British and the American would be blamed, and the Turkish. So they're playing on both sides of the border, and which is not nice, it's not fair. And about the sheikh that the Saudi about to execute, I'm saddened about that. I'm a Sunni Muslim, but as long as I regard the Shia Muslims as Muslims. It doesn't matter how they practice, as long as they know the Ashahada and the fasting and they eat Salat. Anything from that, they're Muslims. And to come back to Kobani, if it falls, it obviously will be the Turkish to be blamed. They wanted this to happen. And obviously that's how it's
they did, Alexander. And I mean to all you said before it, they did want this to happen, but they put all their eggs in the basket of the fall of the Syrian regime. Davutoglu, the foreign minister of Erdogan, said repeatedly over and over and over again that the Syrian regime would fall in weeks. For 3.5 years, he was claiming that it was going to fall in weeks. I told Davutoglu that not only was this not true, but that the Syrian regime would never fall. I put it this way. The Syrian regime is too strong to fall and too weak to control all of its former territory. So you are entering into something which can only end in impasse. And that's what we have now, impasse. And I predicted it almost 3.5 years ago when Davutoglu was predicting the regime would fall within weeks. And Turkey has now got itself into a catastrophic situation. It now has an enemy in Syria, it has an enemy in Iraq, it has an enemy in Iran, it has an enemy in Russia, it has an enemy in China, and its friends are not dependable because they tolerated Erdogan, but they don't really like him. And he's now making an enemy of the very Kurdish people who he had engaged in the peace process with. And we could be in the situation where war with the Kurdish minority in Turkey begins to blaze at the same time as both neighboring countries, Iraq and Syria, are on fire. How can Erdogan imagine that he will not be burned in those fires? Alexander, thanks for the call. Patrick is in Doncaster. Go ahead, Patrick.
Good evening, George. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam. Go ahead.
Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush to blame for these issues in Iraq.
Yeah,
they've
good.
Turned up the they've turned the Middle East upside down and shaking it like a piggy bank, and then they're stood around on the BBC scratching their heads wondering what are we going to do other than pouring in more troops and expunging or taking out more blood of innocent men, women and children. And the general consensus in the West, I find, where I live in Doncaster, is it's okay to bomb Iraq. It's okay. I mean, we've bombed it for the past 100 years.
Well, that's right. I was just about to say that, Patrick.
Why
we have been
continue?
Bombing it for a very long time.
Exactly, brother.
We dropped the first ever chemical weapons drop from an aeroplane on the Kurdish people in Iraq in the 1920s.
Exactly. So we need to reach a place in our society where we hold Blair and Bush to account for what they've done in the Middle East.
I'm working on that, Patrick. You know, I'm making this movie, The Killing of Tony Blair, coming your way. I hope it plays in the Doncaster Odeon.
And that's something that I've donated to, actually, George.
Excellent. Thanks, Patrick.
No problem. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks for that call. Patrick in Doncaster on the subject of Kobani. Now, in the last hours, as I brought to you, my information is that the YPG, the heroic, mainly young, often female fighters of the YPG, the youth section of the PKK, are pushing back the ISIL fanatics who have invaded their city, murdering and mutilating as they went, and raping, by the way. How's that for fanatic Islamism? Raping women, cutting the heads off women. Couldn't make this up. Now,